Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? Rolling solo after not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. They ain't got nothing to do with that. Shut the back, expose those cats. Proposals, heroes, take advantage of black. The government gangsters will cut the crack. A war going on, so where y'all at?
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
Thank you once again, Rob. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this July 11th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. We are live from the Papa John Studios here, and support for the show is also provided in part by Ticketmaster. Remember, NFL fans, in addition to your favorite sport, you can also find and buy tickets to concerts, other sports, the arts, theater, Broadway shows, and family events at Ticketmaster.com, where they put fans first. I'm your host, the slightly above average Eric Balkman. My co-host is Dave Dizzle Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll talk about Alfred Morris's fantasy value in his new Washington offense and discuss how we're tiering the tight ends for FFPC purposes. Plus, longtime FFPC and high-stakes players Joe Stutzman and Kevin Walsh will join us to talk some strategy, as well as why they bring such a large group and an ever-growing group to Vegas every single year. Dave, it's awesome to have you back in the studio. We want to give a shout-out to DraftSharks.com's Matt Schaaf for filling in last week. He did an admirable job, so big ups to him. But it is so nice to have you back in the studio, and it is a jam-packed show tonight. If you guys want to have any questions for us or for Joe or for Kevin, post them in the chat room. You can also connect with us on Twitter at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak. Facebook.com/the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour as well. And the FedEx inbox is highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you want to chime in and talk with us tonight, that number is 347.
Game over.
347 game over. I won't even read the numbers. They're on your screen if you're listening to Blog Talk. If you're downloading later, you're not even going to be able to call in anyway, so there's no point. Before we get started tonight, a couple of announcements. Remember, July 21st is the early draft spot deadline to get your FFPC main events squared away. So remember to take care of that at myffpc.com so you can get your draft spots a full month ahead of time, more than a month ahead of time before you're drafting out in Vegas or online. And reminder to sign up for the Football Guys Players Championship. We had drafts begin this past Saturday. We've done a bunch so far. Very interesting stuff. I'll try to talk about where I'm seeing players go in those drafts on the show as much as I can, because people are always asking me about it. Remember, I don't log it. We don't track it. It's just a matter of me trying to remember it correctly. So we'll talk about that as much as we can over the next month and a half. Anyway, let's get to the show tonight and start talking about some fantasy football. And the first thing I want to bring up is a guy I don't want to say I'm souring on, because I'm not. I still like him. Maybe I'm being poisoned by listening to other opinions out there. And it's regards to Bishop Sankey with the Tennessee Titans. He's in great shape, focusing mentally, according to the Tennessean. Sankey said he's in good shape. He's looking at plays every day with running backs coach and former Packers running backs coach Sylvester Kroom. Sean Green is the starter there, allegedly. Bishop Sankey could be the starter week one. He might have to work his way through it. Right now, I mean, he's going in the late fourth of Football Guys drafts and FFPC drafts. He's the 20th running back off the board. I think if you look at a guy like him, and tonight in a Football Guys draft that I was commissioning, he actually didn't go until the mid-sixth. So, and there it's a fantastic value. What I've been hearing, and this is not from one person, it's from multiple people in the industry, I mean people in the know, that they're not convinced that Tennessee will be smart enough to make him the man and give Sean Green carries. I know Sean Green's going to get carries. That to me is clear. What's not clear is how many carries Green's going to get. And I think that when you look at a player like Sankey, you know, having to earn his medal, as it were, I think that there's a reason to have a little bit of caution and not wanting to overdraft them. Now, my co-host Dave obviously loves him and is a big fan of him. Sixth round, I obviously love him, but the fact, I mean, you got to take him in the fourth round. I mean, there's other guys going out there in the fourth round that I think might be a little bit better for fantasy purposes, given what we know now. Oh, do you have the ADP up?
No, I don't.
Do you want to bring it up? I don't have it up. Well, RB 20.
I'm sorry, I don't have anything else going on.
RB 20 is going in the fourth round. So you're saying, based on your analysis, the fourth round running backs, it's Sankey for you. I mean, there's nobody going there that you
okay,
like.
Okay, so he's getting picked as the 20th running back overall. There's 32 teams in the NFL.
Right.
Would you agree that the Titans are a better-than-average offensive line?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Do you think that Sankey is, given that many running backs peak at a very young age?
Correct. I would agree with that.
Do you think that he's a talent that is in the bottom half of the 32 teams or the top half?
All right, I'm going to stop agreeing with you there because I don't know where this line of questioning is headed, and I feel like you're going to trap me somehow.
He's being picked 20th,
okay.
So all he has to do, if he does better than 20th, he does better than his ADP.
Right.
I mean,
well,
I
better than running backs, but yeah, I mean, you're talking about the fourth round.
So if he's being picked at RB20,
right.
He goes in that, and you take him at his ADP, and he finishes better than that. If he finishes as a high-end, a high RB2 or a low-end RB1,
right.
You've gotten value.
Okay.
And I think there's a significantly good potential for that to happen.
Are you worried at all about what I said earlier, about the Titans wanting to force-feed Sean Green and making sure he's getting touches at the expense of Bishop Sankey? Are you worried? Are you concerned with that at all?
I mean, obviously there's some concern, but I don't see this like a John Fox type thing where you know that the veteran running back is going to get the carries. This is not a person. Sean Green is not some stud running back. He's a career journeyman.
Right. Question in the chat room. This is directed at me, and because I think I know how you're going to answer it. But Electric Relish asked, would you draft Stacey over Sankey? And I would not. I would rather have Bishop Sankey at that point because the Trey Mason thing throws me off. You know, I don't know what the Rams are thinking there, and I don't know what their plan of attack is as far as a running game this year. So I would still take Sankey over Stacey. And Stacey's been falling in drafts, too. I saw him go in the draft tonight. Granted, Sankey went in the middle of the sixth, but Stacey went at the end of the fourth. So, and he was, remember, he was going second or third round a month or so ago in drafts. So I think that that's something to pay close attention to. Remember, it's not all about talent. It's not all about opportunity. It's about draft value. Cam Newton is going to work with his wide receivers, according to USA Today. He's already been working with Kelvin Benjamin, but he's going to be working with the other quote-unquote receivers they have in Carolina. And it's going to be good for him because...
Do you want to talk about the Kelvin Benjamin trade that got texted to us today?
Do you want to talk about that? We can.
Yeah, someone traded... The chat room, what do you think of this? Someone traded Kelvin Benjamin
right.
for Justin Blackmon and Josh Gordon today.
No draft picks, no other players.
In a dynasty league.
It was Benjamin for Gordon and a Blackmon straight up in FFPC dynasty
league. Yeah, that was interesting. It's like two pieces of crap that could turn into gold versus an untested rookie.
Well, you know what's interesting is, and I don't know what the teams were who did it, but what's interesting to me is in that format, if you are playing to win now, I mean, Gordon and Blackmon could potentially help you right away, and Benjamin's a bit of an unknown.
What?
Yeah.
How can they help you right away?
Well, you know what I mean. Like you don't,
you
they don't have to,
right
they
away.
Don't have to develop at all. Whereas Benjamin is a raw guy coming into the NFL,
not a
polished route runner like Blackmon and Gordon are.
I don't think any of those three players will be worth anything for 2014, and I think Benjamin has by far the best potential to do something in 2014, and possibly even 2015.
Yeah, I mean that's a fair point. But if it's somebody swinging for the a couple of home runs, they could get it with Blackmon and Gordon. And so I think that I understand it. I would rather add the Benjamin side, obviously, but I get to see where they're coming from. Let's get back to Cam Newton. He's plummeting in drafts, Dave. See him go in the
plummeting.
Ninth. Yeah. What did I say? Plumbing?
No, I was just repeating you.
Plummeting.
It was like the chorus. I was emphasizing your point.
Okay.
Plummeting. You should say it at the same time.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Plummeting.
All right. Fantastic. And the crowd approved. Cam Newton going in the ninth round at the earliest is what I'm seeing him now. In the 10th round is where he normally goes. I mean, that's just where he's going now. So I think fantasy owners, especially the high-stakes players, have kind of caught up to, like, look, who's he throwing to? He's got Greg Olsen and a rookie in Kelvin Benjamin. Not much else. I thought it would be fun if we played a Would You Rather tonight, Dave. And I talked to you about this before the show. I think that we need to get some production for such a hallowed segment we have on the show.
I think so.
So this is our new production for Would You Rather.
Would you rather get a massage from a man or surgery from a female doctor?
Would you have sex with Cleveland if it meant you could have sex with Angelina Jolie?
Who would you rather do? What would you guys rather be? Who would you rather start a small business with?
Who would you rather have sex with?
Do you want breakfast or would you rather chew on your own ass as usual?
What?
So Cam Newton is
That was wonderful.
Thank you to that beautiful material we got from an anonymous show. So I'm going to start it off. Do you want to start off on the high side or the low side with this one, Dave?
Whatever.
Okay, let's start off on the high side because I think he's going to plummet. Okay, let's go with Cam Newton or Matthew Stafford.
I'll take Stafford.
I agree. Cam Newton or Andrew Luck?
Luck, for sure.
Agree. Cam Newton or RG3?
I'm feeling RG3 this year. I'm going to take RG3.
I would agree. Cam Newton or Nick Foles?
Foles, for sure.
I agree. Cam Newton or Tom Brady?
I'm taking Brady. I'm still a Brady guy.
This is close for me. I'm probably taking Brady, but, I mean, the running numbers with Cam Newton I really like, and the fact that he gets all those short goal line carries or at the 2-yard line or whatever it would be. So I will go Brady, but it's close. Cam Newton or Matt Ryan?
That's interesting.
To me, this is not. It's not that close.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll take Ryan, I guess. I don't get excited about Ryan.
All those weapons. I mean, like, just given who he's throwing to is like, so much better.
Like Gonzalez?
No, not like Gonzalez at all. Cam Newton.
Tuioliolo.
Okay, Harry Douglas, Roddy White, and Julio Jones are all there.
Harry Douglas, a guy who sucked. And the only reason he got targets last year was because he was the last man.
And he was fantastic with those targets. He was great. All those plays. I guarantee you there's a highlight reel of Harry Douglas out there somewhere.
He's pretty all right.
He was better than pretty all right. You don't give Harry – do you want to – no, I don't want to do it because I don't know what's going to happen with Julio
like
and Roddy.
I don't like his name either, Harry Douglas.
I know. It's not a great receiver name.
It's like a bad porn name.
Harry Douglas?
Yeah.
That's not even –
starring in Anal Buffet 9.
That's
Harry
worse,
Douglas.
That's worse than a bad porn name, Harry Douglas. Who would want to watch – I mean, not that I want to get into this, but nobody's going to be like, oh, Harry Douglas is in this one.
Actually,
never heard of him, but I got to watch this one.
He'd be in Bushwhacked 4.
Yeah, that he actually would be.
Maybe not whack.
Let's get Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick.
Huh? What are we talking
Cam
about?
Cam Newton or Colin Kaepernick?
I'll take Kaepernick.
I agree. Cam Newton or Russell Wilson?
I'm, you know, you're naming a lot of guys in like late quarterbacks I like. I like Russell Wilson, so I'm going to take Russell Wilson.
I would actually rather have Newton there. Cam Newton or Tony Romo?
I'm going to take Newton there, actually.
I would take Romo. Cam Newton or Phillip Rivers?
You know, the Cowboys' defense is so terrible that maybe Romo's a better play. And you got Linehan.
And Des Bryant, Jason Witten.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to take Romo. So okay. I'm going to switch my mind.
All right.
Changing my mind.
All right. Fair enough. Cam Newton or Phillip Rivers?
I'll take Newton.
I will agree. And Cam Newton, last one. Cam Newton or Jay Cutler?
I'll take Newton for sure.
See, I like Cutler there better.
Yeah, a lot of people like Cutler. Cutler, is, you know, even in those games he played last year, he wasn't all that great. He always misses time. People look at his,
but does it matter if you're drafting a quarterback that late if he misses time? Our producer and mutual friend Rob and I were talking about this, and he's like, oh, if Jay Cutler can stay healthy, I mean, he could have a great season. And I'm like, well, even if he doesn't, I'm going to draft a quarterback shortly after I draft Cutler. You know what I mean? It's not a huge deal. And then you get somebody like Johnny Manziel or Jake Locker super late if you want to go three quarterbacks or just pick one of them off the waiver wire. I'm not too concerned with Cutler's health.
I'm very concerned with Cutler's health. I think maybe, yeah, there's a chance he survives the season. I don't think Cutler's all that great.
Let me ask you this.
With Newton, okay, his receivers suck. I will grant you that.
And still do.
So, yeah, he has Greg Olsen, which is one minor thing. But don't forget the rushing stuff. I mean, as a rookie, he ran for, 14, 15 touchdowns? And then all those rushing yards, I think that this might be another year where they rely heavily on his legs.
Right. Let me ask you this to shift the conversation to Jay Cutler. You said you're concerned about his health. Does that mean you are bumping Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett down your draft board from where they're going right now? Marshall and Jeffrey both solidly in the second round. Martellus Bennett is a 6th, 7th round pick.
You're trapping me now, aren't you?
I'm not trapping you. I'm this is a serious question.
You know, I haven't looked that much at their schedules, but I'm not moving him down necessarily, but it's an interesting point. If I don't have Cutler all that high,
right,
why am I still willing to draft Jeffrey Marshall?
Right.
Forte's going to catch passes, and you still have Bennett. So that, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't. You know what? Just because I don't have. You know, I'm not trying to have to try and pretend and give you a BS. I know everything.
That's fine.
I don't know.
I
you know what? Ask me that next week. And
you know what?
I may know.
Rob,
mark the
tape on this. We are going to ask Dave about Jay Cutler next week and see if your opinion has changed.
I'm going to do some homework. I'm going to figure that out.
Can I say something? I love the way that you did not answer that question.
I should get an apology.
Well, here's what you did. I'm like, oh, Dave, you don't like Jay Cutler. Why do you like the Bears skill players? Well, you know, it's not necessarily that I don't like him, but I think it is a fair point. It's a good question.
Yeah,
and then that was it.
That's how like Obama or Romney or any of those guys would answer that question. It's like, Eric, I'm glad you asked me about Jay Cutler and the entire offense. I think they're going to do pretty well. I think they're going to be successful. I like Jay, and that's great.
You know, it's funny. You know, and that's all funny. But what the listeners at home didn't understand or didn't see was I was actually nodding my head and looking down at my notes for the next question, just willfully accepting that answer, you know?
It's great.
All right. It was great, but it's not going to be as great as our next segment. I want to bring in tonight's guests onto the show tonight. They are longtime high-stakes players that have gone out to Las Vegas to play in the WCOF, the FFPC, for many, many years. Each year, their legion of drafters grows larger and larger. And this year, they're going to tell us all about it. They're going to tell us, share some strategy, Dave. They're going to tell us how big the group is, why they love coming out to Vegas. These are our people right here from the FFPC Players Unofficial Club. Joe Stutzman and Kevin Walsh, gentlemen, welcome onto the show tonight.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you don't, Eric, I hope you don't drill me as much as you're drilling Dave right now.
I know, it's awful. I agree. Thank you.
Not to mention
Holy
the line
cow.
Of questioning.
Yeah, this is like, you should play the L.A. Law drop for the...
Oh, yeah. No, hold on.
Insane, huh?
I can do this. Dave, quick question for you.
Yeah?
Don't play the... Fine.
I hit the microphone.
You can't tease me with the L.A. Law theme and then just not let me play it.
I heard you guys were playing golf today. Are you guys all buzzed up here, or what happened?
No question about it. We got rained
yeah,
out,
baby.
So we sat in the tunnel for about 45 minutes waiting for the lightning to pass through.
Did you end up finishing the round?
Oh, no. We got rained out for the first time this year.
Oh,
nice out
great.
Here in Denver, though, because we get to play pretty much year-round. I mean, we start in February and kind of end in December-ish, so.
Nothing wrong with that. Are you guys now, do you guys both live in Denver?
Yeah, we both live in Denver.
Okay. And then, and guys, just tell the audience just a glimpse into your lives. What do you guys do for a living out there?
We're both car guys. You know, Kevin's a general manager of a large franchise store here in Denver, and I own an auto brokerage.
It's like the yin and yang coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, I definitely compete against him. I got to get people out of his store to come to mine because, you know, those franchise guys are mean.
Well, and what's interesting is you guys can compete in that, so to speak, but yet you're sort of teammates and competitors in the high stakes field as well, in the high stakes fantasy football field.
Yeah, Joe and I started in 2007 going together to WCOFF, and that was our first entry. We bombed out. We stayed up too late, and I drank too many Red Bulls. I cramped up, couldn't write anymore, and we got destroyed. And we came back the following year and won our league, and since then we've been fairly successful.
Nice.
It's awesome. It's really a lesson to the kids out there. Yep. Red Bull and late nights in Vegas.
I hope they're not listening.
Yeah, they don't normally equate into fantasy football greatness, but a good night's sleep, Wheaties, that'll get it done.
Wheaties.
Well, I don't know. Whatever people have for breakfast now.
Wheaties.
Joe, let's talk about the group that you bring out you have been bringing out to Vegas. It's I was talking to Chris Lambert about this, our wonderful customer service guru, and she said that your group is getting larger every single year. How many guys are coming out with you this year, and what made you decide to bring out such a large group?
So, you know, we currently have 12 partners, so there's two guys for each team that we bring out, so we have six teams this year. But, you know, the group just gets larger and larger and larger every year. You know, some of the wives come, buddies come that don't even play. We just come out to Vegas, have a good time, and, you know, anybody that's listening that doesn't do a live draft, man, you got to do it. Live draft is where it's at. It doesn't get any better than coming out there, having a few beers, looking somebody in the eye and acting like
tell
you're drafting somebody
sucks.
Else and get the guy you want.
Yeah. Well, and Joe...
Hey, nice pick. Your team sucks.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
Exactly.
You can't do that online like you can do it live. It's
no,
great.
Trust me. People do it online, too. But Joe, let me follow that up, and I'll just say this. The first time I came out to Las Vegas, and I was actually talking with some of the players out there that I had known from, you know, the FFPC message boards and you know, commissioning online drafts or whatever. And, you know, I knew these guys were smart, and you know, obviously I'm passionate about fantasy football. You get out there, and you're used to, like, hanging out with people, you know, in your basement leagues in your hometown that are sort of like, oh, yeah, you know, I like fantasy, and I like talking about it. And then you'll get into a conversation with one of these FFPC guys out there, and it's like, oh my God, you're as sick about fantasy football as I am. Like, you get me. It's totally mind blowing when you actually have that first conversation with somebody who's, you know, flying out from wherever to share with them knowledge and share, like, you know, experiences with them that you didn't think, you thought you were the only one who had them.
No, well, it's a little better than talking to the tear the sheet out of the magazine guy that shows up at the draft with last year's top 200 players.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy well.
That used to be me. We
love those guys, but we don't see them in Vegas very often.
I took Jake Plummer in the second round. Oh, Terrell Davis.
Oh, that might have worked out.
No, it did not.
Oh, it did not. Okay.
It was after his one good year.
Yeah. Well, beware the career year. Kevin, let me ask you something. There's obviously a lot to do out in Vegas on draft weekend. You already talked about the late night and with Red Bull the first time you were out there for WCOF. But besides drafting, you know, and you're bringing out these guys that, you know, aren't drafting or just there to party or hang out or whatever, which is cool. But besides, you know, drafting high-stakes leagues, what have you guys done to pass the time until it's time to start drafting your teams?
Well, after that first year disaster, the best-kept secret for me in Vegas is the day pass to the spa. You get up as early as possible. You head down to the spa. They know me by first name by the second day. You do all your stuff down there. You go to the steam. You do all this stuff. You clear your head. You get ready for the draft. It is by far the best kept secret in Vegas.
Do you guys do the pedicures? Do you guys do that?
No, you don't. That's the key. You don't need to do any of that stuff. You just got to go down there, pay your $30, eat free fruit and nuts, and pack as much water in a bag and bring it back to your room.
That's the thing I'm missing out in Vegas, because when I get up early in the morning and I forage for my nuts and fruit. Like, I didn't realize you could just pay $30 and somebody would feed it to you. That's fantastic.
Well, Balky goes to the Shanghai Massage on Flamingo is where he goes.
I don't go to the one on Flamingo anymore.
Is that close?
For whatever reason, it just got shut down. Really abruptly, too. I don't want to get into it. Joe, we're talking with Joe Stutzman and Kevin Walsh, FFPC veterans who come out to Vegas every year and draft teams. There's 12 of them coming out this year to draft in the FFPC main event. Joe, you touched on it earlier. You have essentially 12 partners that are coming out there in the high-stakes scene. Do you guys all own pieces of all six teams then, or are you battling it out against each other every year in regards to these high-stakes drafts?
Oh, no. It's a true team concept. I mean, we all have equal shares in all six of the teams. You know, the only thing we really battle for is just, you know, the bragging rights of who wins the money that year.
So that's it. Bragging rights, Bulk.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. I mean, the money's all good and everything, but the stories live on, Dave, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk strategy here and get into the nuts and bolts here. Kevin, how are you, obviously with the tight end premium scoring in the FFPC, how are you treating tight ends this year? Are you trying to get Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski, Julius Thomas? Are you trying to get one of those in the first couple of rounds, or are you waiting to grab a guy maybe in the 5 to 10 tier, or even waiting later than that and just taking two or three guys in the top 15?
The latter. We have not put a premium we thought it was a mistake when we first started going out there that we didn't put a premium on tight ends, and we've been able to win without, you know, the top-tier tight ends. And I'm going to look at guys like Delanie Walker and Tyler Eifert and those guys. And last year we had Charles Clay, and I think you can make do. We last year was the first year that I convinced my partner to step up and draft a tight end in the fifth round, and we drafted Jared Cook, and we're sitting in the Hilton on opening day, and it looks like the greatest pick in the world, and that was pretty much it. It was like a bad firework. He went off and never came back. So we will look for the later tiers. We got jacked on Julius last year because we had Julius as a fourth or fifth round pick. We're Bronco fans. We had him tabbed. And then we're sitting there Thursday night football. We didn't come out to Vegas until we went to the Thursday night game in Denver. And there goes Julius going off. I'm punching my partner going, God, I can't believe this. And sure enough, he goes off for 30 points, and he gets drafted in the third and fourth round in every draft in Vegas. So we got
and even sometimes higher than that, too. I was seeing Julius Thomas in the second round of some drafts. You know, that had to be an interesting dynamic because you guys are all jacked for the NFL season. Your Broncos are on national TV. Peyton Manning is setting all kinds of records. Demaryius Thomas is going off. Julius Thomas is going off. Everybody's, you know, Wes Welker, everybody was just, you had to be loving what you're seeing from your team. But from a fantasy perspective, these are guys that you were hoping that maybe would be suppressed a little bit in drafts, and now all of a sudden they're going in the top three rounds.
Well, Manning went in the first round. I mean, we kept thinking that we were going to take him, you know, if he came back to us in the third round, we'd take him. But we did get lucky. We got lucky with one of our guys, and that was Decker. Decker had an awful night on opening night, and he fell to us in the seventh round. We went back-to-back with Decker and Garcon and in the seventh and eighth round.
Nice.
And we're just sitting there going, are you kidding me? We got two 90-catch guys in the seventh and eighth round, big body receivers, red zone guys. So that was the saving grace was we ended up with Decker had a terrible night, and we get one of our guys anyways.
So, Joe, tell us, when you're drafting a team, are you ensuring that you have a certain number of players at each position at some point, or do you like to load up on, let's say, receivers or running backs or maybe even tight end?
You know, with six teams, it makes it a little bit easier for all of us to have different draft strategies. I mean, obviously, in the first, you know, five, six rounds, we like to stack up on the receivers and the running backs. But, you know, the biggest part is having the six teams allows us the luxury of, you know, not having the same draft strategy, so we all are able to change it up quite a bit. So, you know, the only position we really try to hold off on is that QB into the, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth round because it's such a deep position right now.
You know, I have a follow-up question. Well, so we have a bunch of teams that we do in Kentucky, and my buddy Leroy is one of our partners.
The real Leroy.
The real Leroy. So a couple of years ago, in the 7.5-hour drive down to Kentucky, I was talking about, oh, I really like Reggie Bush this year. I think he's going to do great. And Bush was going in the third and fourth round. Leroy, he doesn't draft any teams at all until Kentucky. So we finished all these drafts, and I looked at his teams, and he got Reggie Bush in every team. But he got him in the second round in every single draft. And I'm like, dude, I like him, but I mean, I don't want you to take him in the second round.
Well,
do you ever have that issue where you look at these teams, and you're like, yeah, I know we talked about this guy, but now, you know, you just totally reached on him.
Well, the team that this is Kevin, the team that I manage with my partner, we map it out and we get our guys, we move people up, and we get our guys. We got our first six guys that we targeted last year. We got every single guy. And we're sitting at the seventh pick, kind of in the middle, and we got every guy. And I learned that from a guy a long time ago. He said, map it out, not only with the positions, but map it out with your guys. And if you think a guy needs to be moved up, I mean, we moved Arian Foster up a couple years ago. We moved Lacey and Giovanni Bernard up to the third and fourth round last year. I don't know that there's any better feeling than walking away from the draft table with all the guys that you targeted. That's the adrenaline rush that he and I get when we get our guys. If we did a bad job evaluating the guys, we did a bad job. But I'm not going to sit there and go status quo with these guys and just pick off the sheet.
You know, that's what they say in these in every draft. I'm ever, you know, everybody loves the baby that, you know, everyone loves their baby.
Yep.
It's always a pretty baby when you built it.
See, now I'm not that way. Like, because if now here's the thing. Maybe it's just because I don't trust my evaluations enough, but if I'm getting every player I want, I'd be like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, how many ACLs were torn behind my back last night? You know what I mean? And then I always get freaked out by it. But, I mean, that is true. It's like, what if you want to put this kind of money on the line, you want to get the players that you are evaluating to be the best performers, the best value in the drafts. And if you can get that, you got to feel good. And I think that's a great point. If they suck or if they get hurt, who cares? You know, because you followed your plan and you executed it. Joe, let me ask you this.
By the way, Lucas is a very handsome young man.
Thank you very much. I saw you like that photo on Facebook today.
Yeah, normally I don't like your... Sorry to interrupt you, guys. I normally don't like your wife's photos of Lucas because she posts so damn many of them. It's ridiculous.
That's why I thought, like, who grabbed Dave's
That's
phone?
That's what
wives
do.
I mean, like, seriously.
I mean, you know, people put these baby pictures up on Facebook just to get likes.
He's a handsome little bastard, though. That's the best part about it. He looks just like Pops.
Yeah, well...
Oh, let's not get too crazy here, guys.
Listen, there's only one Adonis.
But that was a really cute picture, so...
That's me.
I responded.
Thank you very much, guys.
That would have been a great name for Lucas Adonis Faulkner.
I told Jen that, and she put the Knicks on Adonis. Adonis and Hercules were the two I really wanted, and she didn't... Well, whatever. Joe, let me ask you this follow-up question on the crew that's coming out. Where are all these guys coming from? Are they all coming from the Denver area? And do you have any kind of strategy session on the way out there or when you get there to, as far as, like, kind of, you know, sharing thoughts and feelings on certain guys and instincts you might have?
Yeah, I mean, we all get together here in Denver. We've got a couple of guys that are down in Texas, but for the most part, everybody's in Denver. You know, the biggest thing is we all get together here in Denver and we talk about guys that we like. And that's the only thing we like to talk about because everybody has a different draft slot. So, you know, I'll be picking first, they'll be picking third, they'll be picking eighth, they'll be picking tenth. So, you know, we all get these different draft slots. We just want to find guys that we all like. And then the biggest thing is actually during the season where you're working the waiver wire. I mean, you get $1,000 and... You know, you got to find guys early. Like, you know, Kevin's team last year, they got Keenan Allen for $1 before he was popular. It was huge. I mean, he put a buck on him, dropped. We lost Julio, and we had picked up Keenan Allen, and it was the difference. We ended up scoring the most points in our league and getting into the big money. But so, the waiver wire has become a big deal for us. That's people that are just starting off in FFPC. That waiver wire is a huge deal. How much money do you spend? When do you go after guys? I mean, it's the deal. I mean, we've watched guys spend $600-$700 on guys early in the season and carry them on to league championships, you know.
So in a follow-up to that, you guys are not shy about blowing a lot of money in the first few weeks of the season on the waiver wire if you feel like this guy is a difference maker for your team.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, if there's a guy out there that you can get, I mean, there's how many of them come along? You know, two or three guys the whole season on the waiver wire come along that you can pick up and spend $700 or $800 on, and, you know, you just got to fill some slots after that. I mean, you're putting a lot out there to do it, but if it's the right call, it could mean a lot.
Well, tell them about our rookie team that we had last year, Joe. Tell them about the Kellen Winslow disaster.
Oh yeah, we had a couple of new guys last year, and they spent $650 on Kellen Winslow after
we,
he blew
week
up.
Two or three.
It didn't go well after that.
No, 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 no.
And then they blamed it on the vets.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Wasn't me. I didn't click the button.
Well, you know what you guys should do for that team? Are they drafting again this year?
Oh yeah,
they are.
The perfect team name for them is the Kellen Winslow disaster.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's and you know what? They'll probably end up, just winning a ton of cash this year. We're talking with Joe Stutzman and Kevin Walsh on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight, Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzek. Kevin, let's talk about the Niners running game a little bit here for a second. Do you like the value of any of those guys right now in drafts? You can get Gore in the 7th or 8th. And, obviously this is July we're talking here, but right now you can get Gore in the 7th or 8th. Carlos Hyde is usually going in the 10th or 11th. Marcus Lattimore is not being drafted at all. Do any of those three guys interest you this season? Or Kendall Hunter, I mean, that's another guy I didn't mention, but you can get him in the 18th or 19th round as well.
Well, I think Gore, the issue with me is that the guy I draft with, he's an agoraphobe. I mean, that guy will not let me draft Frank Gore. So it doesn't matter where he is, we're not taking him. But as far as Carlos Hyde goes, we're going to take a serious look at Carlos Hyde because he's got the size. We like to take guys from teams that that play with a team that has a great defense, that gets in the red zone. We took Lacy last year. Not that the Packers have a great defense, but they're in the red zone a lot, and that was a huge deal for us last year. So we'll look at Hyde, and we may move him up. If he has a decent preseason, he's a good-sized kid, and he should get plenty of red zone carries.
And listeners, bear in mind, this is coming from a couple of guys who bumped up Eddie Lacy and Giovanni Bernard last year, who had a fantastic season. So I think that Hyde call is very interesting. Joe, let's shift divisions, but stay in the NFC and talk a little bit about Victor Cruz. They have a new offensive coordinator there. Odell Beckham is going to be either in the slot or on the outside taking pressure off of coverage on Cruz. Do you think that he's going to land on any of your rosters, given that he's probably going to be going in the 4th round in drafts this year?
Man, what a tough guy he was to own last year. You know, the guy has no touchdowns after the September. It was just crushing to anybody that owned him. I mean, good September. What do you have, 4 touchdowns, I think, in September, and you get into the rest of the year and he doesn't do anything except catch a few balls. And then, you add Beckham. He's a huge addition. I mean, you can put him on the outside, and then on the other side you have Randall and slide him back into the slot. He's a great opportunity, 90 catches, 1,300 yards, and 9 to 10 touchdowns if he's in the slot. So, if he goes in the 4th round, he's a great value.
Dave, what do you think about that? Just as long as we can get you to chime in on Victor Cruz this year, do you like his prospects? I know you haven't been big on the Giants' offense and Eli Manning, but what about Victor Cruz in the 4th?
Yeah, I would look at him there.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't get me super excited, but I like...
What does get you super excited, Dave? Talking about Harry Douglas.
Harry Douglas gets me very excited. Cam Newton in the 11th would get me excited. Nick Foles in the 7th or 8th would get me excited.
Really?
Yeah.
CJ Spiller in the 3rd?
And 4th would get me excited.
Okay. Let's go to emails. We have a couple of emails for you guys that came in, into the FedEx inbox at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. First one is from Greg in Arlington, Virginia. He writes, "Hi, guys. What are your thoughts on Peyton Manning and the Broncos offense this year? Are they going to repeat what they did last year without Decker and Moreno? What pieces of that points juggernaut are you drafting?" That's Greg in Arlington, Virginia. I'll throw it out Kevin, you can take this one first. What do you think? I mean, obviously, you guys are in Denver, so you know the Broncos offense. Chances of them coming close to what they did last year, and what are the best parts of that offense for you from a value standpoint?
I don't think they're going to replicate what they did last year. I mean, we're playing against the NFC West, and our division actually is getting, it's getting tougher. So, but I still look for Manning to put up 45+100 yards, and we are going to be all over Emmanuel Sanders. And we listened to one of your shows, and I had Emmanuel Sanders as a sleeper guy. The guy's going to get way too much attention. But we're really high on Sanders. He looked really good in some of the preseason workouts. And then Monty Ball, let's face it, NoSean Moreno went in, 10th, 11th round last year and ended up as the 4th leading FFPC guy for running backs. And if Moreno couldn't break a run longer than 12 yards, Monty Ball has it all. I mean, Monty Ball is shifty at the point of attack. He's got great hands. Manning loves him. Manning gave him more than Manning loves him. Manning likes him in pass protection, and he's going to get every opportunity. And that offense with six guys in the box, the thing about that offense is when they run when they want to run. So when there's only six guys in the box, they run the ball. And I think Ball has a chance to be a top five back. If Knowshon Moreno can be a four back, then Ball can definitely be a top five back.
No, if I own Monty,
and,
Monty
and DT, DT is just the guy. I mean, we watched Brandon Marshall here, and we drafted Brandon Marshall before Brandon Marshall was Brandon Marshall. I was punching Joe the whole at the whole draft. I kept punching him in the arm like, we're not waiting another round. We're not waiting another round. And we finally – so we had Marshall, and we watched him a lot. And DT – Marshall is not Demaryius Thomas. I mean, he doesn't possess the speed. He doesn't possess the his ball skills in the end zone, they're not even close. I mean, the way he attacks the ball, and Manning just – he's the only guy on the team that Manning throws the ball to when he's covered. I mean, everybody else – and then when he gets a single high safety, I hit the lady next to me. The poor lady's 75 years old. She's been going to games since I was born in 67. And every time we see a single high safety, I grab her by the arm and say – here comes the nine route. Here comes the nine route. And he hits DT every single time. So they run single high safety once or twice a game. He hits him for a 40-yarder, and that's the end of it.
You know, and that's
to answer
interesting
your question,
too.
Sanders and Ball are going to move way up our charts.
And I think that woman probably loves that because she, like, if she, you know, because sometimes, listen, we saw the guy falling asleep at the Yankees game. Sometimes pro sports are boring. And you get that, you start to doze off when you're in your mid-70s, you start to doze off, and all of a sudden the friendly gentleman next to you grabs your arm like, single high safeties, here comes. And then she wakes up, she gets excited, she wakes up, she sees the play, and then, you know, Monte Ball runs the touchdown in after that. And she has a great night. And
she's
I think,
like, you spilled my beer, you son of a bitch.
Kevin, I got to tell you. Humanitarian of the Year award is in your future.
Beating up an old lady.
But, yes, I mean, you know,
at least you're not hitting on her. Lovingly
beating up, yeah, if you can do that.
Yeah,
she might do that too.
I had about as good a time as I could have. I haven't missed a game in 16 years, and we had just moved our seats, and they were her husband passed away, and they were her other two seats, and we got to sit there, and I don't think. She had a great season. She just had a blast. I mean, we were by the end of the season, she was hugging me and jumping up and down, and it was that is pretty much what it's all about.
Football, it brings people together. Let's final email here we have from Gil in Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, Joe and Kevin, are all these Darren Sproles comparisons to Theo Riddick real? Do you think he'll be a good pick in the 19th or 20th rounds? And if I do that, should I be knocking Reggie Bush and Joique Bell down a few notches? See you in Vegas, hopefully. That's Gil in Hartford, Connecticut. Joe, I'll toss this one to you. What do you think about Theo Riddick for this season with the new offense that's going to be in Detroit?
I think I'm going to pass it over to Kevin.
With the new tight end there, and with all the mouths to feed, we're not gonna mess around. I mean, I had Bush in some other leagues last year, and we love Joique Bell this year. And yeah, I don't know how far we can move him up, but that's the guy from that team that we'll target. I mean, I'm done with Stafford, but Joique Bell's the guy. As far as Riddick is concerned, we'll wait and. See how it goes, and maybe we'll get him in a waiver wire. Maybe we'll get him for $1 like Keenan Allen.
Ah, this year's Keenan Allen. Could be Theo Riddick. let's move on. Joe Stutzman and Kevin Walsh joining us on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight. Final question for you guys. We want you to give us one sleeper that no one is paying attention to right now, and one big-time bust that is going to be taken way too high in FFPC main events this year.
Well, I've got the sleeper, and Joe's got the bust. I like Zach Ertz. So I downplayed all the tight ends to you, and then I picked my sleeper as a tight end. After week 9 last year, when he caught 25 balls on 35 targets, 71% of his catches, 4 touchdowns, I think the guy has a chance – to be a top 10 guy, and I think he'll be a real value. I just don't think that people will, you know, I don't think they'll be looking for him in the eighth or ninth round, and I think that's a decent spot for him.
I like it. Okay, Zach Ertz, and who's the bust?
The bust would be, in my mind, I think it's going to be Marshawn Lynch. I mean, I think he was fifth overall last year in FFPC running backs, and, you know, the guy had 400-plus touches last year, and you got guys like Turbin and Michael, you know, waiting in the wings right behind him, and, you know, his touches should decrease significantly, and, you know, I'd rather take my chances with guys like, you know, Kevin had on his team last year, like Bernard, Lacey, Bell, Ball, or just a big-time receiver in that first round. So, you know, he always goes in the first round. I think his time's done.
His time could be done. I'm seeing him more in the second round this year, so I think some high-stakes owners are sort of with you on that. I've even seen him in the third round in some drafts, but you never know what the pushback's going to be. He's the type of guy who could, you know, get pushed back up into that second round, maybe the end of the first. So Lynch is a guy you guys are staying away from, and I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. Final, I know I said final question before. Real quick, a question in the chat. It is from Codecracker. He wants to know what you guys think about Andre Ellington this year, and I'm going to phrase it this way. He's going in the third round of just about every draft. I saw him go at the tail end of the second round tonight. What do you guys think about Ellington, given where he's going right now?
I think it's a little bit high. I'm not a big Cardinal running back. I just got soured. I had Beanie Wells for too many years, and I just don't like the Cardinals. Sometimes you just run into teams that you just don't like. You just don't like them. You just don't like. I'll draft the receivers, but I won't draft a running back.
And it has been a while.
The best part about owning all these teams is that we have these different opinions, and you know, I think he's a great value in the third round, and that's why we all go out here every year and have this kind of fun and argue and fight and scratch and claw to win $300,000.
I love it, and that's what it takes sometimes. So, hey, listen, guys, this was a lot of fun having both of you guys on tonight. I wish you the best in your main events this year. You know, the fact that you're going to be out in Vegas, we'll have to meet up and have a drink or something. This was quite a treat for us. Thanks so much for coming on.
Lucky to be wearing
the thing. Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Yep, you bet. Anytime. Joe Stutzman, Kevin Walsh, live from Denver tonight here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Those guys were awesome.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
I mean, I don't know about what you're talking about me wearing a wig, but are we going to get from Don Erickson this year? I haven't heard anything.
I think Erickson's showing up. I hope so.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I'll put the feelers out for him. Okay. Let's move on let's go to Fantasy Flash and answer a couple of emails here. Dave, as long as we get a little bit of time left on the show, 12 minutes to go here. First one, Joel from St. Paul. He writes, "Hi, Dave and Eric. I'm in a three-player salary cap keeper league, so I can only keep certain player combinations. This is non-PPR, tight end mandatory. I'm considering the following options. Which do you prefer?" All of them have Monte Ball in them, so I'll just – there's four of them. All of them include Monte Ball. So would you rather have Doug Martin and Jimmy Graham, Doug Martin and Demaryius Thomas and Jordy Nelson?
I don't even know what you're really saying.
Or Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas. Those are his four keeper combos. Which one do you like best out of those four? And obviously, Ball's involved in all of them.
Why don't you just list all the players and tell us to pick three?
Well, he's narrowed it down for us for the brevity of the show. He's being
nice.
That's
expanditory.
No, that's not expanditory. Expanditory would be listing his whole roster. I don't know if it is, but we just cemented it as a word tonight.
So Ball, okay, so why is he even saying Ball? Ball's already
because
fits in all four combinations.
Because he keeps three.
Well, he's already picking Ball, so actually it's a three-man keeper, and I'm keeping Ball, so I really only have two choices.
Okay, there you go. So which choice do you like there then?
So it's Doug Martin, Jimmy Graham?
Yeah.
Doug Martin, Jimmy Graham, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Jordy Nelson. Non-PPR, tight end mandatory. Why, I don't see, where's the Demaryius Jimmy Graham option? Why doesn't he have that?
Maybe he can only keep one tight end.
I don't understand. But that Demaryius, that is one tight end.
No, but you're saying why is where's the Julius Thomas, Jimmy Graham? Maybe he can
point. Where's the Demaryius, Jimmy Graham option? Why?
Maybe the salary cap, it doesn't work out that he can do that.
All right, I got you. Okay, so I'm going to go with Demaryius Thomas and Doug Martin.
I'm going to go with Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas. He's already getting a top running back there, and I like the idea of getting the tight end that's being drafted as the number two tight end right now, and potentially the number one receiver in Demaryius Thomas. So load up on those Broncos, Joel from St. Paul. Richie Redskin and Dunedin, Florida, I think it's pronounced. Feelings on Roy Helu as a sleeper. Keep up the good work. Go Skins. Helping out Richie Redskin here. Do you like Roy Helu at all this year, Dave? I'm not a huge fan.
I mean, there's been rumors that he's going to get cut. Haven't there been? What's the point of... No.
So you don't like him?
No.
New management there, new coaching staff, and they did draft your boy.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Lake Seastrug.
Oh, God, I'm fast.
Look
at how fast I am, and I'm going to be cocky and then get drafted in the sixth round.
And get Roy Helu cut. So that is how we feel about Roy Helu.
Anytime you have like a new coaching staff, administration, front office.
The fringe guys you always worry about.
Yeah, the guys like Helu who, granted, great 40 time and all those things everybody loved when he was coming out.
Had a three touchdown game last year.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do actually.
I think I was going against him in Kentucky. Somebody started Helu against me because they had bye week issues.
No surprise.
Yeah. Dave in Mineville, New York is our next email, Dave. Hello, Schmidt and Jenko. Every year you guys tell me to wait on a quarterback, and every year I never know if you're right because the backs and wideouts I draft instead of a quarterback always stink. Are you guys taking the same approach this year as you were before? Thanks, Dave in Mineville, New York. Dave, if you remember last year, we talk about waiting on a quarterback a lot on this show, but last year it seemed like everybody was saying, wait on a quarterback, wait on a quarterback. There's so many quarterbacks. And I think last year was really the year of waiting on a quarterback. This year, I don't think it's as prevalent, but I'm treating it the same. I mean, I'm waiting on a quarterback.
I'm looking at targeting certain guys in certain spots if they fall.
Okay. Let me bring this up then.
Okay.
The Football Guys draft that I did tonight, yep. Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers both went in the fifth round. I always wait on quarterbacks. I'm taking Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers in the fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally take those guys in that spot. I think those are both great picks.
There's waiting on a quarterback, and then there's waiting on a quarterback to the point of being a dick about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which you see,
can we can say that word?
I don't know if you can say that, but...
I did say a hairy earlier. No,
but you know what's funny about that is that was your joke, and you laughed at your own joke when I told it, which
That's
is
great.
Hilarious to me.
See, when I tell a joke, I don't laugh at my own joke right away, but like further
you
on...
You wait for somebody else to laugh, and then you're like, ha-ha.
Yeah, that was great.
So anyway, I feel like there's 11 quarterbacks I really feel good about this year. So I'm not going to do like last year I was waiting till everybody had a quarterback or excuse me, everybody but one team had a quarter or everybody but two teams, myself and another team had a quarterback because I wanted to get that 11th or 12th guy off the board. And somebody always doubles up on quarterbacks before the last team has a chance to take one. This year there's 11. So I'll probably wait till like 9 or off the board, and then I'll probably go after a quarterback in, 8th, 9th round. I love RG3 this year. I would take him kind of early. Luck, if
you
falls
need
to.
You don't need to take RG3 early, do you? Where's he going? You know, 9th, he said?
No, not anymore. Now he's going in the 6th. He was going in the 9th, I would say, like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
6 is early. To me, that's early.
For a guy who could be like a top 3 guy this year, I love RG3. Now, listen. If there's one thing listeners of this show know, it's that I cannot rationally talk about RG3 because I've loved him every single year he's been in the league.
You like that? You're like Jason Kahn with LeBron.
Yeah, but I feel like Kahn did give up on LeBron for a while.
No, but I mean, yeah, but I mean, his Facebook post, a little pathetic lately.
I would disagree with that.
Pathetic, but unbelievably entertaining.
Very entertaining.
I mean, it's been fantastic. I've been checking Facebook more often.
Because of Khan?
Because of Jason. No, I don't even care about LeBron. I don't even care about basketball.
I was going to
Just
face,
because of Jason.
I wasn't even checking any other websites. I was going to Facebook to look at Jason Khan's status updates to find out what was going on with LeBron.
Yeah,
He's the most in-touch, non-industry guy in basketball there is.
It's the only time Facebook's faster than Twitter is when Khan's knocking out the LeBron news.
We didn't talk about this today. He posted that. He's like, oh, I'm off to get a celebratory beverage. And I thought he was kidding. 20 minutes later, he posted a photo of him in some Cleveland bar raising a glass of beer.
He's got like a corporate job of some sort. I don't know what he does there.
But he was
like,
he was wearing his witness t-shirt.
Guys, I'm leaving. It's 11 a.m. on a Friday.
In all seriousness, Cleveland might have shut down after that came out today.
I actually totally think they did.
Let's go to another email. John in Shenandoah, Virginia. What's up, players? How are you guys tiering out tight ends this year? Is Graham on a level by himself? Am I better off to get the fifth tight end off the board or wait until tight end 11 or 12? I'll answer this first. Oh, love your show, John in Shenandoah, Virginia. I'll answer this first. I don't know what I'm doing yet this year. I'm probably not taking Jimmy Graham in the first round. I'm probably not taking Gronk or Julius Thomas in the second round.
No, DraftSharks just took Jimmy Graham in the first round in a PPR league non-premium.
Yeah, I saw that.
I like that pick.
You can check out that draft review on – what was that?
It's on DraftSharks.com.
No. What was the draft they were doing? It was –
the Gridiron.
I want to say Gridiron Legends, GS. But that's your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check that out, that draft review on DraftSharks.com. I probably won't take Julius Thomas or Robert Gronkowski in the second or third round. Let me tell you a guy I really like this year.
All right, let's hear it.
That I think is being underdrafted, Vernon Davis. I mean, he's like the eighth or ninth tight end off the board.
He doesn't get a lot of targets. That's the caveat.
You know what he gets a lot of?
Touchdowns.
Points. And targets are all nice and everything, but when it comes down to it, they tally up the points in the FFPC, not the targets.
That's true. You don't win on targets, do you?
No, you don't. So I really like him, given that, you know, how late he's going. Now, that may change. You know, I think people are maybe not targeting him as much because of this potential holdout situation, but I think that'll resolve itself. But right now, I really like Vernon Davis. One thing I do know is I do want to get a top 10 guy for sure. I don't want to wait to the point of, and I know Kevin Walsh just came out and said that he'll take three guys, you know, outside of the top 12 and see if one of them hits. Like I say with a lot of things on this show, I am not good enough to do that. I need that safety net of the top 10 guy and then maybe taking another guy shortly thereafter it and a super late guy like Richard Rodgers or something like that if I want three tight ends, which I think you should do in an FFPC format is get that third tight end late. That always helps. Stay tuned for that because we're going to talk about that much more as things kind of flesh themselves out. I think that tight ends are more of the volatile position in the FFPC drafts, and we're going to see them change spots quite a bit. That's how I feel. Okay, final email, Pat in Cary, North Carolina. With no reliable tight end in Green Bay, do you guys think Jarrett Boykin will be able to hold off Davante Adams and put up a top 50 wide receiver season? And are you guys covering pros versus Joes again this year? That's Pat in Cary, North Carolina. I'll answer the first part first. With Boykin, I do like him as the third pass catcher in that Packers offense this year. The thing is, they have Colt Lyerla, who knows what's going to happen with him. But they have Brandon Bostic. You know I love him. You know I love Richard Rodgers. And they could bring back JerMichael Finley. So there's
named a bunch of crappy tight ends.
They're not crappy. How are they crappy? They're not crappy.
Let me ask you this. How many tight ends are going to actually be on the field and getting 90 targets to the passers?
Okay.
Packers throw to tight ends.
Okay,
every year.
But now you're asking me a different question.
My point is you named three tight ends. They're going to throw to one of them, whoever the
I don't know
is,
if that's necessarily true.
And they're going to get 90 targets this year. So that doesn't even matter.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. Okay, so
you mentioning three tight ends is irrelevant to the discussion.
It's completely relevant to the discussion.
How about this? The Packers will have a tight end that they will throw about 90 targets to. Now go ahead with your analysis of Boykin.
I disagree with that. Okay, so Boykin, you think the fact that they're going to have one guy getting 90 targets, you don't think he's the third passing option in Green Bay this year?
I'm not necessarily saying that, but I mean, you bring up three tight ends as if these guys are all going to be snatching up targets left and right.
I think they will be snatching up targets.
One tight end will be snatching up targets.
So, okay, so hold on. See, what you're saying is Bostic or Lyerla or Finley or Rodgers, one of those guys is going to be clearly the better option of the other three. He's going to set himself apart.
My point is that it doesn't matter who it is, that one of them, per the regular way that they run the offense, will get about 90 targets, and then the rest of the guys will get their target. Packers spread around targets.
Okay, when you say their
spray targets, like a guy taking a leak at 1 in the morning.
Okay, right. Okay, we got to make this quick because we're running out of showtime. But I want to make a wager on this somehow. How do we – when you say all the rest of the guys are going to get their targets, are you talking about tight ends?
No, receivers.
Yeah, okay, then we can't make a bet. I was misunderstanding.
What do you want to bet on?
Nah, okay. We can't because I kind of agree with you, but I was misunderstanding you. Okay, that's going to do it.
Sum up, Boykin sucks.
He doesn't suck, but
he's
still
not that great.
Oh, let's talk about we didn't get to Alfred Morris or Nick Foles. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about them next
Foles
week.
Foles is great. Morris is a pretty good value at this point, I think.
Foles is good. Morris, I'll agree with you on Morris.
All right.
So there you go. So we did get a chance to talk about him. Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for our show tonight. I want to thank Kevin Walsh. I want to thank Joe Stutzman.
Let me just pop in. Sorry about some of the server issues we're having. We are working on it, And there you go. That's that.
Duly noted. We're burning the midnight oil trying to fix that. Ticketmaster, Papa John's, the FFPC, our producer, mutual friend Rob, audio engineer Bryce, most importantly, all you listeners. Coming up on next week's show, we do have a guest coming up, and God, now I forgot his name. I'm going to get it here.
Newt Rockne.
No. Next week, now my internet's not working. I cannot believe
this has been another episode of
Michael
the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week. Find gold and maybe get rich. Look inside of your soul and you can find out it never exists. I can feel the changes. I can feel a new life. I always knew life can be dangerous. I can say that I like a challenge and you